work on a book report using Scripcit on Radio Shack's Color Computer 3. It hooks up to his TV. And Jeff's at his Radio Shack Color Computer 3 playing the newest football game. But wait, what's Elliot doing playing new Super Pitfall? And Jeff's having a blast with a new math tutor.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Staffo.
Coding, it's what makes it possible for people to create computer software, apps, and websites. It's one thing when adults code, but what about kids? Our next guest is the Director of Curriculum and Assessment of the Stratford School. Monisha Gupta, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is a very interesting topic. A friend of my son's said to him, do you want to do a coding class with me? And I have to admit, I had no idea what he was talking about. And then I looked into it, and it is a very interesting topic. Now, the Stratford School recently participated in a week-long Hour of Coding event for kids from preschool through the eighth grade. Tell us about it.
Stratford has been coding, or the kids have been coding at Stratford since 1999. The Hour of Code for all our Stratford kids was an opportunity to show their skills and kind of do more of the fun activities that go along that have been put out by code.org. The idea is that, you know, you show your support for the skills that are necessary for 21st century skills.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids go in the yard and draw programs, and they use robots, and they do hands-on and hands-off activities, online activities, and so on and so forth, group activities, individual activities. So participate in the whole gamut of coding-related activities. So it's a great fun event for everybody who comes together and plans it, and we go around the campuses and cheer. And so it's a great fun activity for the kids.
So tell us a little bit about Stratford School. Like, how is it different from other private schools?
Stratford is, I would say, it's highly academic, but also has an emphasis on the soft skills that are necessary, the 21st century skills of collaboration, creativity, perseverance, grit, all of those things that we're talking about today to survive in the 21st century jobs. So there's an emphasis on developing a well-rounded child, and so coding becomes a part of it. Coding is necessary for the future, so and it brings about the 21st century skills very well, and that's why Stratford is taking a giant leap and starting early in preschool.
Now, how common is it for coding classes to be offered for kids so young? We know now what goes on at Stratford, pretty much overall across the country. When it comes to getting kids involved with coding and activities such as this, how far behind the curve is the rest of educational America?
I would say that people aren't seeing the connection that is between coding and the other early education skills. For example, when you're teaching a language, people have always said that, you know, if you start early, it becomes easier for the kids to learn later in life. And to learn difficult subjects, the best thing to do is to start early and start small. And I think the rest of the world has not seen it. There's not many schools out there that do coding in preschool. There's actually not many standards written for preschool. But in some of the other countries, there are actually already standards written for early education and technology use. So I think we are behind, but Stratford's, basically figured that out, and they're trying to come up with the standards and the activities that, introduce technology early on to the kids.
I think it makes sense. I mean, there's an app for everything these days. There's mm-hmm. an app, everything's on a computer now, even with cell phones. Like, people don't even use laptops or computers anymore. Everything's
right.
on a cell phone
sure.
now, you know? So this makes perfect sense where, like, the future is this. The kids need to know.
And the kids need to know how things work, not just how to use things, but also how those things work and how those things are created. I think that is the main idea behind introducing coding in the preschool, is so when the kids pick up that phone or the iPad, they don't look at it just as a place to consume technology, but also to be able to create it.
and to really understand the technology and how it works and how it is made. And it really is, and as you mentioned, it's important to be able to bring kids up to speed and have them start thinking in this way creatively, because I would imagine it expands their mind in so many other areas to be able to deal with subject matters such as this and to be able to take that into other aspects of both their academic and their intelligent development.
Right. And, you know, the earlier you start, it becomes like second nature. Just like they learn grammar syntax, they will be able to learn some of the coding syntax, and then it becomes second nature. And by the time they're in fourth and fifth grade, they're already able to write scripted programs.
And what do you see in terms of the children with how much they enjoy doing this? Now, I brought up my son's friend. He loves coding, and he's trying to get my son to do it with him. And it is something that's becoming second nature, and he wants to be a video game designer. And this has sort of lit the fuse for that with him. So what do you see from the children in terms of the feedback you're getting from how much they enjoy participating in activities such as this?
We've come a long way from teaching coding through scripts and syntax only. Now there's graphical interfaces and very easy to learn coding interfaces that actually encourage the kids. So it's drag and drop programming, block programming, things that are easier for the kids to understand in the beginning. So they're excited about it. For them, it's a game. You know, it's a game. It's a way to express their creativity, especially the girls who used to steer away from this. Traditionally, even they are coming back and saying they enjoy because it's being linked to some of their interest areas. So I think the kids are really excited. For them, it's like learning grammar or it's like learning Spanish or French early on.
So are you seeing now with this teaching technique, are you seeing that these boys and girls are, you know, excited or have a greater desire to be involved in programs like this?
Yes, absolutely. We have actually a lot of testimonials from some of our girls who love going on Tinker, which is one of the programs we use, which is an interface that makes it easier for the kids to learn programming. They see it as second nature. They can't wait to get to the computer and start building their programs.
And that's interesting, too, because when as I was doing the preparation for the interview, I always thought that coding and computer design and tech design, this was more of a boy type of thing. And I don't know why I thought that, but I just did. But to hear that girls are now just as interested, you know, it makes it much more competitive down the road as well.
Sure does.
When if they decide to choose to pursue this as a career at some point, it really levels the playing field and you bring much more talent into the field of tech design.
Right. And, you know, middle school time is when the girls start to steer away from it if they feel it's something very different. If they've been brought up from the early ages doing these things together, they're able to continue their interest and deepen it. And, it, like I said, become second nature. That was one of the reasons why Stratford wanted to start it early on. It was basically part of our every program.
And what has the response of the parents been to this? Because you have parents that come from the generation when they grew up in the 70s, 80s, and even now the early 90s when this wasn't so prevalent. What has the response of the families been to the children being exposed to not only this new education, but pretty much just a new way of thinking in a classroom?
You know, the parents have been actually very supportive, and they see that we're not introducing tech for the device, but for a purpose of creating tech. And I have been very pleased with some of the parent focus groups we've had, and they like the idea that we're actually teaching them how to use how to create the app in the iPad versus or how to use the robots versus just playing some games on the computer. So I would say we've been very proud of our efforts, and the parents have only helped because they've given us feedback on how to do it. Most of our parent body is in the Silicon Valley jobs, mm-hmm. and they've actually helped us tremendously by guiding us about some of these. And, you know, they come into our classrooms and they present what they do at their jobs and what skills are needed besides coding skills. So we build that into our curriculum as well.
With these programs that you're offering at Stratford School, like, is it a program that is just given to every student, or do you have to, you know, elect into the program? Like, is it a mandatory thing, or is it something that's elective?
So at Stratford, computer science is mandatory from preschool all the way up to eighth grade. And if you are a Stratford student, you're definitely exposed to it. Our science teachers are trained to teach programming to preschool. We have computer science teachers for elementary and middle school. So that program is available to all the Stratford students. And we do follow the Computer Science Teachers Association standards. So, you know, it is available for those who want to look it up. It's a nationwide standard that teachers can look into.
Very nice. And if a parent or if someone just interested in what it is that you guys do and the work that Stratford does, where on the web can they see and learn more about the Stratford School?
So we have a website where we have technology at Stratford link, and that explains our computer. That actually has our mapping for grade by grade, what we do and how we use technology in the classroom.
Very nice. So one day when your child single-handedly creates the next great video game or social media app and becomes the next Mark Zuckerberg, you'll know who to thank for it. Monisha Gupta, thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi.
I'm Christine Nastavo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Fred bumped Linda's car from behind, but before Linda could say anything, he offered her $2,000 if she would not report the accident. They exchanged information, and on the $2,000 check, Fred wrote, "Cashing check releases Ryder of all liability." Linda cashed the check, but was later diagnosed with whiplash. She needed 3 months of extensive therapy. Can Linda recover her losses from the driver who caused them? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
By cashing the check, Linda accepted the conditions which released the driver who hit her of any further liability. Linda made a costly mistake, and that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you think that your dreams are private? No way. There are researchers out there who do nothing but study what people dream about. So here's how your dreams stack up against the average John or Jane Doe in the population, along with the science of it. You get a brand new dream every 90 minutes. That's about 5 or 6 new dreams a night, and they're probably recurring themes like falling, being chased, failing at some simple task. Most of our dreams find us in a situation where we have little control, you know, like falling.
Have you any dreams you like yourself?
What's the cheap psychological trick? Take control. Before you get out of bed, when you're in that period between fully asleep and awake, mentally rewrite the dream with a happy ending. As a result, you'll find yourself more confident during the waking hours. Got a question? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.